As I mentioned this morning, I'm glad to be an American. I don't know of any other place in the world that I'd rather live than in this country. And tonight, I want to bring you a real simple message that I've entitled America. I want to say three things about America. First of all, I want to mention some things that make our nation great. I want to talk to you about the greatness of America. If you were here in Sunday school, we're going to cover a lot of the same ground that you covered in your comments about this country. Things that you mentioned that you were grateful for. Some of the things that God has blessed us with that make this nation great. Then, second, I'd like to talk about the God of America and remind you that we're only a great nation because we put in our history God where He needs to be. And project or foretell the future for you a little bit and tell you that the only way we're going to remain a great nation is to keep God where He should be. And then number three, I'll finish up by talking about the guilt of America and some of the sins that we're guilty of today that if we're not careful, we're going to lose our place in history. I want to use as my text that verse we read a moment ago, Psalm 33, verse 12, where the Bible says, blessed, and that word means happy or great or prosperous. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. Now, that verse is in the Bible. And before I start tonight, I want to tell you that that verse is just as true, and the promise of that verse is just as true as any other verse in the Bible. Now, a lot of times we have a habit of picking and choosing what we want to believe out of this book. But it's the whole counsel of God. And we need to believe and claim and understand that every promise that God has in this book is just as true as those that we might pick out and want to believe. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord is just as true as John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, should not go to hell, should not spend eternity apart from God, but have everlasting life in heaven. How many of you believe that promise, John 3:16? Well, we got some Bible believers here tonight. That's good. I'll pray for the rest of you. Psalm 33:12, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. It's just as true as Jeremiah 33:3, where the Bible says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. One of the wonderful promises about prayer that God puts in the Old Testament. He says, you pray, you call unto me, and I'll answer in great and mighty ways. How many of you believe that promise in the Bible? Oh, wonderful. We've converted a few more. But a wonderful promise about prayer. And Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, is just as true as that promise. It's just as true as Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall, not might, not maybe, not perhaps, shall be saved. And many of us have used that verse and staked our claim on salvation, on our Savior, and on Christ. And my dear friend, this verse, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, is just as true as Romans 10:13. God put it in the book, and He wants us to be reminded as a people that we need to keep Him as our Lord and as our Master. Many in our nation have forgot this promise, if they ever knew it. And we need to remind them, as we remind ourselves, it's a great nation is not made by military might. A great nation is not made by economic prowess. A great nation is not made by a good educational system. A great nation is found in the simple truth of this verse, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let me remind you tonight of some of the things that make America great. Some of the things that God has blessed us with that many people around the world point to and say, this is what makes America great. Number one, God's given us a wonderful store of natural resources. A wonderful store of natural resources. Every commodity in the world that man uses just about is found in the United States of America. In the fields of America grow the crops that sit on the tables of many, many nations around the world. From the trees in America, every fruit that man eats and every wood that they use to make houses and furniture comes. In the mines of America, every mineral that's used by man is dug. and on the prairies of America grow the meat that feeds the world. God has blessed us by giving us a nation that's just chock full, running over of natural resources. Number two, God's blessed us by giving us a nation that's just filled up with natural beauties. Natural beauties. You don't need to go anywhere else in the world to enjoy scenery. You can stay right here in the United States of America and you can enjoy it. People talk about the coast of the Mediterranean. We have the Pacific and the Atlantic and the Gulf of Mexico that we can point to. People talk about the Danube and the beautiful rivers in Europe. And we have the Mississippi and the Ohio and the Colorado, just to name a few. They talk about the mountains in Switzerland. But we have the Alleghenies and the Adirondacks and the Rockies and the Smokies that we can point to. And people talk about all the wonderful places that they can go all over the world. Well, we in this nation have hundreds, literally hundreds of places that we can point to and say, you ought to go there. We have Old Faithful. We have Niagara Falls. We have the Grand Canyon. We have the Redwoods. We have even just around here, the Great Lakes. We were talking this morning, somebody was saying one of the great things about America, Randy, was the fact that we have the freedom to go fishing. And we have an abundance of places that right around here that we can go and fish. You can put all the scenery all over the world together, and we can match it in America. God's blessed us with that. Number three, God's given us a good form of government. A good form of government. Now, we may not have used it to its fullest potential. It may not be everything that it could be because of us, but He's given us a form of government, a republic, a democracy that He's given to us in America. Now, look, you stop and think about it. 217 years, the number of years that America has been a nation, you check it out, every large nation that has existed in that 217 years has changed their form of government. But America hasn't. It's still working today. The same Declaration of Independence, the same Constitution, the same Bill of Rights that were penned over 200 years ago are still protecting our individual rights as citizens of this country. Number four, God's given us freedom of speech and freedom of the press. Did you know I didn't have to submit my sermon to the governor of the state of Michigan to see if it was okay if I preach it tonight? I didn't have to send it to some board. Might have been better if I did, Brother Wendell, but I didn't have to submit it to some board to get their stamp of approval on it. I can stand up here and I can preach the convictions of my heart, and I can preach the convictions of this book, and I don't have to worry about some policeman coming in and arresting me and hauling me off. Now, some of you might be praying for that right now, but it's not going to happen. Why? Because we're guaranteed in this country freedom of speech. We're guaranteed that we can gather together, and any single one of us can get up and speak. Same thing with the press. An editor of the Clio Times or the Detroit News or the Flint Journal, they can write in their paper anything that they want to write. They can criticize the government. They can criticize its leaders. They can criticize the decisions that are made. And without any repercussions, without anybody coming to arrest them, they have that right. In many nations today, it's still the practice that the government tells the newspapers what to write. In many, many nations today, only what the government wants you to hear is on the radio. In many, many places in the world today, the only thing that you see on TV is what the government wants you to see. In many, many places around the world today, preachers have to go to the state and get their sermon. It's all printed up. It's all made out for them. They go get their sermon, and that's what they deliver on Sunday morning. We live in a great nation. We have freedom of press. We have freedom of speech. Number five, what makes America great? God has given us religious freedom. Religious freedom. Kate mentioned it this morning. We have the freedom to believe anything that we want to believe. You can worship God, any way that you want to. That means, as sad as it may seem, if the homosexuals wanted to get together and start a homosexual church, they could do it. They have that freedom in this nation. Now you say, Brother Darrell, they don't believe the Bible. You're right, they don't believe the Bible. You're right. But they have the right. They have the right under the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to start a church and to preach what they want to preach. But just recently, for example, there was a church that went to the Supreme Court. They wanted to offer animal sacrifices. And many of the animal rights people were all up in arms. They were upset. But the Supreme Court ruled that that church had the right to worship their God in the way they saw fit. And they okayed animal sacrifices. Stalin, on May 1st, 1937, Joseph Stalin said this: "There must not remain in the territory of Soviet Russia a single house of prayer. And the very conception of God will be banished from the boundaries of Russia." May 1st, 1937. Well, Stalin's dead. Russia, as he knew it, is dead. Communism, as he knew it, is dead. And you know what? The churches in Russia are flourishing. They're having revival in Russia. Now, and that's wonderful, but you know what? We never had to face that in America. We never had a president or a dictator or a leader of our country come out and say like he did, "We're going to close all the churches. We're going to get rid of God from our country." And my dear friend, I think that's one reason why communist Russia has fallen and why the system of communism is on its way down, because they took God out of it. And the Bible is true. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You want to know where that principle came from? Religious freedom. You want to know who started it? There was a man back in colonial days named Roger Williams. He was persecuted for what he believed. In order to practice what he believed, he went to what we now know as Rhode Island. He founded the city of Providence. And in the Constitution of the state of Rhode Island, he wrote this: "Every man should be free to worship God according to the dictates of his own heart." And when Thomas Jefferson and the rest of those guys started putting the Constitution together, you want to know where they got this principle? They went to the Constitution of the state of Rhode Island, and they pulled out the principle of religious freedom. Roger Williams, by the way, was a Baptist preacher. A Baptist preacher. And they pulled out of the Constitution of the state of Rhode Island the principle that every man should have the freedom and the right to worship God according to the dictates of his own heart. Number six, we're a great nation because God's given us the principle of separation of church and state. Church and state. Separation of church and state. A lot of people have a misunderstanding of what that is. Basically, what that principle means is that the state can set no church up and point to it and say, "That's the state church." If you have a state church, you got to have state ties. They tax you to support the state church. And in the Constitution, it says the government shall establish no church. That's separation of church and state. Now, a lot of people misunderstand it and say, well, Christians aren't supposed to be interested in politics. They're not supposed to take part in the political process. No, 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 no. That's a lie from the devil. Because he knows if we stay out of it, he can rule it. He can control it. Every Christian has not only the right and freedom to take part in the political process, but we have the responsibility given to us from God. We, at every election, we ought to pray, and we ought to vote how God tells us to vote. And then number seven, God's given us, one of the reasons America's great is because God's given us a country where everybody has a chance. Everybody has a chance. Henry Ford said one time, "There's no such thing as no chance." And you know what Henry Ford did? I hesitate to mention it. But he built a car and started a little company whose name will go unmentioned. But anybody who has a dream, anybody who's willing to work, anybody who's willing to sweat can succeed in America. God's given us that kind of country. Thomas Edison, he was just a poor boy, lived on a farm. And when people looked at him when he was a young boy, they might have said, oh, this guy will never amount to anything. And yet today we're using over 1,200 inventions that were invented by Thomas Edison. In 1800, somebody made the suggestion, we ought to close the United States Patent Office. Their reasoning was, everything that's going to be invented is already invented. This was in 1800. They were serious. They said everything, and back in the 1800, America was the hotbed of inventions. And they said, we're just going to close it. There's nothing else new. Everything that's been going to be invented has already been invented. And that was before the car and the telephone and the TV and the VCR and the microwave. I mean, and you could go on and microwave, and you could go on and on and on and on. Everybody, this is a land of opportunity. God's blessed us. And then number eight, we're great because God has blessed us. Think about this, we've never lost a war. The flag has never dipped in defeat. We've never given up one inch of our land unless we wanted to. God has blessed us. We're a great nation. We ought to be proud of being America. And the only reason that we are great, and the only reason that we have all these blessings, is because God has given them to us. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, number two, let me talk about the God of America. The God of America. If America is great tonight, and I believe that she is, if she's great tonight, it's because she's tried to keep God in her rightful place. A president of one South America country said one time, South America was founded by men who were seeking gold, but North America was founded by men who were seeking God. Somebody else said, the Spaniards came here for gold, the French came here for gain, but the original colonists came here for God. The folks that came and founded the United States of America came for that reason. They wanted to have a place where they could freely worship God in the way that they wanted to. And my dear friend, that's the reason that we live in a great country. Because the founding fathers, the men and women who gave their lives and their wealth and their reputation to found this country that we call our own, founded it upon this book. And they founded it upon the God of this book. And as long as we keep God in the rightful place that he deserves as our Lord, I believe the promises of this book will remain true. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We need to pray that our country will do that. We need to pray just as the pilgrims did when they landed on Plymouth Rock. The first thing they did when they got off the boat was they got down on their knees and they thanked God for giving them this country. Just like the church was the center of every new city in the new nation, the churches in this land need to be the center of every community. And just like when the Constitutional Convention was having some problems, and it looked like the whole thing was going to fall apart, and just like when Benjamin Franklin rose up and he said, gentlemen, we need to get down on our knees and we need to seek the wisdom of God, so the people that rule this nation need to fall on their knees and they need to seek God and call upon God and ask God for his wisdom and his guidance as they rule us. America's great. And we've been great because we've kept God as our Lord. But let me close by mentioning the guilt of America. As I look across our land tonight, I think we're guilty of three sins. Three sins that's going to be our undoing if we don't right them. First of all, the sin of indifference. The sin of indifference. The sin of indifference says this, I'm only one person. What can I do? I'm only one. What difference can I make? I'm only one. What impact can I have? You know who tells that lie? Who do you think tells people that lie? Who? Satan does. Satan does. I mean, he started in the very beginning, and he's been lying to people down through the ages with this line. He says to them, look, you're only a single person. What do you hope to accomplish? What do you hope to do in the grand scheme of things? Can you imagine what the Israelites, the fix they would have been in if Moses would have believed that lie? I mean, the one that God chose to lead them out of Egypt, the one that God chose to go in before Pharaoh and say, let my people go. What if Moses, I'm sure the devil came to him and said, hey, now Moses, look, you're 80 years old, man. What do you expect to do? Pharaoh's got a mighty army. The Israelites, they have no army. They're just a bunch of slaves. They've been spending the last 40 years building cities for Pharaoh. What do you hope? You're only one person. Why should Pharaoh listen to you? Can you imagine what would happen if David would have believed that lie? I mean, as he got his sling out of his shepherd's bag and put that stone in it and got ready to go face Goliath, I'm sure the old devil was right in his ear whispering, say, hey, David, remember now, you're just a little teenager. Maybe you've had success against the bears and the lions, but you're up against the giants. You're up against the giants. Now, I may preach a sermon on that. That'd be a good Super Bowl Sunday, wouldn't it? The Bears and the Lions and the Giants. But anyhow, there was Satan, and he was probably whispering in David's ear. Now, David, you're just a kid. This guy has been a warrior all his life. Look at that spear. It's as big as one of the trees back home. What do you hope to accomplish? You're only one. Think about if Gideon would have felt that way. Gideon, who took a little bitty army of 300 men to fight against the 32,000 of the Midianites, as they started out on their trek, I'm sure Satan was right beside Gideon saying, hey, what's the matter with you? Can't you count? You only got 300. They got 32,000. Don't you remember that verse in the Bible? And this is how Satan will do. He'll quote Bible verses to you. Don't you remember that verse in the Bible where it says if a guy, he probably don't remember because it hadn't been written yet, but where the Bible says anybody that goes out to war, they need to count up and see how many the other side has so that if they're outnumbered, they can make peace before the war starts. What's the matter with you, Gideon? What if George Washington would have believed that? What if Abraham Lincoln would have believed that? Look, Satan may be coming to you tonight and saying, look, you're just a little kid or you're just a single person. What difference can you make to the cause of Christ? What difference can you make to America? And I want to tell you tonight, you can make a big difference. With you and God, nothing is impossible. You are more than conquerors through Him that loved you. I think about every time I preach and I look at these boys, sometimes they fall asleep. And I look at him and I think to myself, the next D.L. Moody could be sitting in this room. The next Charles Spurgeon could be sitting in this room. The next Billy Graham could be sitting in this room. Look, the potential in the land that we live is unlimited. You can be anything that God wants you to be. Don't be indifferent. Don't listen to Satan's lie. Number two, sins of America is the sins of ingratitude. The sins of ingratitude. We're not thankful enough. We don't give enough thanks for what the Lord's given us. Bob Jones Sr., the great Methodist preacher, said one time, the loveliest flower that blooms in the garden of the soul is gratitude. And when the gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, he's well nigh gone. You stop and think about it. You stop and think about the people that you know that aren't thankful for anything. You don't want to, now if you're like me, you don't want to be around them, do you? They're grumps. They're grouches. You show me somebody that's ungrateful, that's not thankful for what they have, I agree with this old Methodist preacher. They're just about gone. We ought to be thankful to God for all the big things that He gives us. You ought to thank Him every day for your salvation. You ought to thank Him that we got a Savior the way that He is. You ought to thank Him for your parents. You ought to thank Him that you live in this great land of America. But you know what? We ought to thank God for more than just the big things. We ought to thank Him for the little things. We ought to thank Him for indoor toilets. Amen. Brother Ray, you say amen to that? I mean, I went camping a couple weeks ago, and all they had was a big hole in the ground. Oh, no. We ought to thank him for showers. Showers. I mean, just that place where you can get in and feel that water running over you. I don't know about you people that always take baths. I got to have a shower. We ought to thank him for mattresses. Mattresses. We ought to thank him for power lawnmowers. You say, Brother Darrell, yeah, that's what happens. We take all that stuff for granted. We forget that God has blessed us with the big things and the little things. The sin of ingratitude. And then number three, the sin of sin. The sin of sin. Just wicked living. Just turning our back on God. Just living as the Bible calls a fool, as if there is no God. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, the Bible says this, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." You know, for a nation to be righteous, its individual citizens have to be righteous. And if we're going to exalt America, if we're going to keep America in the place where God would have us to be, where he can bless us, we have to keep it righteous. Now, we shouldn't depend on the wicked to be righteous. They're not. As we talked about this morning, they've got the old sin nature pulling them in the direction of evil. They have no hope to be righteous. The only chance that America has is if Christians who have that new nature, who have the Holy Spirit living in them, who have that new nature that wants to pull them in the direction of right, wants to pull them in the direction of righteousness. The only hope that we have as a nation is if Christians will do what they're supposed to do. It was a Sunday night in Paris in 1939. The Germans were just about to take the city. A newspaper reported the next day that more people went to church that Sunday than any other day in Paris since 1918. 1939, when the Germans were about to take the city, more people went to church than any other day since 1918. Anybody remember what was going on in Paris in 1918? World War One. World War One. Let's not wait till bombs start falling in America to do what we're supposed to do as Christians. Let's not wait till we're faced with a foreign enemy marching down our streets to do what we're supposed to do as Christians. We need God in our nation. We need God in our homes. We need God in our schools. We need God in our churches. We need God in our businesses. We need God in everything that we do as a nation. The promise that's in the Bible is still true. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the greatest thing that you as an individual can do for your country. Now listen to this. If you haven't heard anything else I've said tonight, listen to this. The greatest thing that you can do as an individual for your country is to be the kind of Christian that Christ wants you to be. Is to live the kind of life that God wants you to live. That's the greatest thing that you can do for your nation. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, the greatest thing that you can do is get saved, is to meet Christ. And if you're saved, then you just need to live it. You need to walk the Christian walk. Talk the Christian talk. You need to be what God wants us to be. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. I thank you for the sweet promises of your word. And I pray that, Father, you'd make them real to us. You have blessed us in a great and mighty way as a nation. And I pray that we'd ever be grateful for that. And Father, I pray that you'd remind us that the reason you have blessed us is because our forefathers who founded this country put you right in the center of everything. And I pray that you'd help us to know that the only way we could keep your blessings is to keep you there. Father, I pray tonight for those that might be here that don't know Jesus as their Savior. I pray that on this Independence Day in 1993, they would get independence from their sin and from Satan. come and ask Jesus to be their Savior. And then, Father, I pray for Christians tonight. Not one of us here can say we're everything that we ought to be. And so, Father, I pray tonight that because we love our country, because we want to do what's right for our nation, that we'll set about to live right. Bless the invitation now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray.